today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And after the show today, are you still planning to go to those polling locations?
You're going back to vote?
No, just keep them secure.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for a second and third time.
Good. It's like a vaccine booster.
Vlasic is selling a new scented candle that smells like a dill pickle.
Mm.
It also looks exactly like one of their jars.
Jars.
So you can't even tell it's a candle unless you're looking closely.
Hey, what's that? Across the room. Is that a jar of pickles? Why is it on fire? Why are those pickles on fire?
He did it. I would travel with Rob Dry in an airport.
You haven't yet, Mike.
I used to be fun. If I get there earlier to New Orleans, I might just wait for you, just so I can walk you to the baggage claim, you know?
That'll be great. And you can say, hey, are you excited to be in New Orleans to not eat or drink? I'll say, yep.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
We're live from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world. You're listening to The Mike O'Mara Show. Join us in great cities and towns like Gresham, Oregon, Silver Springs, Florida, Avon, Indiana, Laconia on Skagit Bay in Washington, and Amergris Cay, Belize. I hope I pronounced that correctly, but I probably... Now, I know I didn't pronounce something correctly, so who knows. I get corrections on that. Bergen, Norway, also.
Yes.
Somebody said I mispronounced something, but that's good for once a day. That's what I do periodically. It's election day.
Yay! Woo! I got my sticker.
Hold on. I know at one point I had election stuff that I used to play on the show. And
your breaking news styled music?
Yeah.
I remember that.
I'm not sure. Let me see if I've got it in here.
All right.
No, I don't. Not there. Sorry. Looking. How are you guys? How's everything going?
Good.
There's a lot going on, you know. I'm just going to say this now. Roughly, I would say 3 days away from pulling Elon Musk and pulling everybody back to work. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Getting everybody back in here. I want to talk about that nozzle.
Well, I admire him in some ways. Let me tell you.
I don't like him. He scares me.
Do you think he's good for democracy, but he's good for productivity.
Do you think he's as sweaty right now as Oscar is?
Well, I ran here.
I know you did.
I ran from my home to work, and I was on time. Ask me where my wife is.
Where's your wife? Walking back from PT...
From her wrist surgery
that
she had, 4 months ago? How long does it take to rehab? Like, are we milking this? What's going on?
No, you weren't on time, though. I should point that out.
Well, I was here in the building turning on the lights because Dan O'Brien was late.
Podville?
9 a.m. sharp.
Has to get, no. Yeah, because I think for the benefit of everybody, you shouldn't be dicking around at 9 o'clock when we are on the...
Turning on lights to a building?
It's official.
No.
9:15, we will tape. There you go. That's
all right.
All right.
Serious I am.
Oh, I thought you were going to start the business at 9:15.
No.
Okay.
No, business still starts at 9.
9.
That's 9.
Not mince words.
Right. Mince.
That's it.
Mince words.
Let's not mince words.
I hate that we have to do that. Or Podville should open at 8:45.
Well, we can split the difference.
That's 9 o'clock. That's the same as we were.
You know what? 9 o'clock sounds good.
Okay.
You play hardball, Mike. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know.
You're a big winner.
Elon Santana.
Anywho, it's
why does Elon scare you?
Because Elon is you hear so many rumors about him. Then he buys Twitter and he fires everybody, which is really not a corporate
necessary
thing to do. Don't do that like that anymore.
Well,
in this day and age of HR and up in the air and call people in and lawsuits,
if you can afford to pay, you do what you want.
That's BS, because you know what? CBS and all these other corporations, that you have, there's a process
involved.
They
did what they wanted.
What about coming in and doing an evaluation of people? But besides that, I don't want to argue about that because it'll take too long. Besides that, what about the whole, maybe he's a mouthpiece for the Soviet Union?
Yeah, I don't trust the Soviet Union.
I will not buy
a Tesla. I will not buy a Tesla. I'm not a big Twitter fan as it is.
And then SpaceX, and I read stories about, you hear a story about him supporting with this amazing technology that's allowed Ukraine to prosecute this war with Russia, this war of aggression from Russia. And then it's like, I'm not getting paid for it, so I'm not going to let him use it. Okay, people die. Elon Musk is dangerous. Dangerous.
He's like a Bond villain.
If you take away the threats to democracy, which is
great
hard.
Great analogy.
Which is hard. And difficult. If you scrape away the threat to democracy.
Yes.
I love how he just cuts the fat.
That's Oscar. That's like saying if you take away the deaths of millions,
nuclear bombs are really great.
Yeah. Well, fellas, let's be fair here.
But
right?
Great roads, Mike.
Let's be fair here.
What?
We all know that we have worked with people in the past that we have stared at and said, how the hell are they still employed?
Mm-hmm.
Are we not? Am I overstepping here?
This is true.
Right? And then somehow, when the S hits the fan, they stay employed. Correct?
Yeah, they tend to fall upwards.
Yeah, because they're somehow, they either have nude pictures of their superior's iPhone, like Snapchat, the Snapchats or something like that on them, or they're just so agreeable that you forget that they're there.
Okay.
So, well, but if you're running right a business and you've overpaid for a business that you essentially stepped on you know what, if you've overpaid for a business, you're going to come in and you're going to slash and burn until you find profit. That's business.
You know what? You know, you're a monster.
He likes a winner.
You're just a total
Have you paid
monster.
For your check mark yet?
No.
Yeah, the blue check mark.
I don't
mark,
need to pay
is
for that.
What it is?
That'd be verified forever.
What, $7 I think it is?
Oh, I don't know.
No, it's just, I just wish that, I like the model of magnanimous business leader. There's a whole public trust thing when you get to be that big. But then when you're telling everybody to vote for a particular party, isn't the whole idea of social media and these platforms freedom without influencing one way or the other?
That's why
I guess he's got his right to speak, but geez.
No, that's why I'm all into Parler now. Parler is great because you can say whatever you want.
Parler is the Trump social media.
It was a joke. It was simply a joke.
Network that then went belly up, and then Trump started his own, and then now the SEC is investigating that.
Yeah, it seems to be crooked. But free check marks.
Is he the only one on it?
That and a handful of people that follow him, I imagine.
Yeah,
you know you're a fake. You know that.
Hey, I don't need that from you.
You are the enemy of the people.
I am no such thing. I'm talking about Elon Musk.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat other people are horrible.
Shut up. Shut up,
you
Donald.
You shouldn't treat people that way.
You shouldn't.
Oh, man. What about this whole inflation thing?
It's a whole hoax. And you know who's playing into the hoax? People like you.
You, Mike.
What about? No, I think but aren't most Republican candidates running on inflation?
It's a whole hoax. And you know who's playing into the hoax? People like you.
They're running on the false narrative that the liberals decided to give too much and now everyone's paying for it.
Yep.
Oh, I think that's rude, Oscar.
You are a rude, terrible person.
And they don't think Dr. Fauci was effective either.
I'm not ashamed to say I'm all blue.
Blue
all the time.
I'm just trying to sit here and report the facts.
Yeah, I say that you're a terrible reporter.
Oh, well, right. Well, F you. There you go.
Our hairpiece secret is gone.
Rob, you interrupted him again.
You rudely interrupted him.
Sorry, Mr. President. Can you believe that was our president?
Oh, this is a horrid show.
And you should say congratulations, great job, instead of being so horrid.
He's super breathy on that one. Can I hear that one more time?
Absolutely. He's describing me on the show.
And you should say congratulations, great job, instead of being so horrid.
All right, I'm being very mean. I should try to be nicer.
Look, let me tell you something. Be nice.
That might be my personal favorite.
Do you mind if I ask Dan something real quick? Be nice.
What? Why didn't you like this? Why do you drift away when I'm playing Donald Trump clips? He looks down and he looks around.
It's depressing.
What is wrong with you? If I was playing like 50 clips from Elon Musk, you'd be, oh, he's great. He's great. He fired 17.
I don't think
people.
Elon Musk is a good person.
Blue check marks.
But it's depressing that there's going to be a red wave. Vote blue if you can. I don't know what it's going to do, but yes. God bless you.
Might be.
But. Well, I mean, we'll lose the House for sure, right? Done. The Senate, maybe it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We can't even get the Powerball numbers right. You think we can get this right? This is crazy.
I don't know. Do I think that there's a possibility? Yeah. By the way, if you didn't think that, it sure as shit would be drummed into your head. It would be drummed into your head. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that our mainstream media is a mouthpiece. Why would a mouthpiece just sit there and continuously talk about how bad it's going to be for the Democrats? Well, if it's our team, I was watching MSNBC, they were saying that. Why wouldn't they be saying, "Hey, we're going to be in this thing. We're going to the whole thing." I'm glad I voted early down here. They have gone from, I believe, 90 voting locations roughly to maybe 19 or something like that down here. You want to know about voter suppression? Okay. Yeah.
And after the show today, are you still planning to go to those polling locations?
You're going back to vote?
No, just keep them secure.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for a second and third time.
Good. It's like a vaccine booster.
I'll be bringing my AK-47 down in there.
Just to ensure safety.
What I believe is whatever party you are in, and no matter what you hear, go out there and do it.
You have to vote.
Here's what the game is. The game has become so obsessively sports contest.
Yes.
That... Why, if you knew it was going to go a certain way and it's going to be this way, why would you bother? Why would you bother to vote?
That's what happened. That's what happened when Trump actually won the first presidential election, where his first term, where we just didn't see that coming, and everybody was beat down. They thought that Bernie got railroaded, so they said, who cares? She's going to win anyways, and they didn't go. Our people didn't go. They didn't vote, and that was it.
So here's what happens if there's a red wave. And you've heard these news stories. Well, these terrible candidates that they are putting up.
The election deniers.
The election deniers. If they win, they win. Okay? Dems. All right? They win because they brand and they keep it simple and they don't preach. And, do I hope they win? No, I do not. But if they do... they were talking about branding. We don't have any slogans that you put on a bumper sticker, like build the wall. We don't have that.
We don't have that
in the Democratic Party.
I have a question.
You are riding with Biden, a sign.
That's right. You are the most staunch Democrat on this show. You're the longest voting person on this show.
Well, he's the oldest as well.
But I was trying to make it nice.
Okay.
I'm curious, why...
He was kind.
Why is it that after all of these years and the consistent missteps in this direction, why aren't the Democrats better at branding? Why can't they take a page?
The standard thing is that Democrats are better on policy and Republicans are better on branding. And that's the way it's been for a long time. And that's why, look, I don't ever want to go to that dark area of it just doesn't matter, because it really does.
It does.
I think we've seen how it does. But it's frustrating to me when the scoreboard has become so important now that it's a game. Mm. It's no longer the best person for the job. It's no longer support somebody outside of your party if they happen to be a decent person. It's ridiculous. And if you don't think the way I think, I hate you and you're the enemy. That's where we are now. I don't know when we're going to get out of this. That's the permanent state of affairs. And if it's going to be oversimplified to that degree, one team has an unbelievable advantage on that. And that is the Republican side, because they have the flags and they have the slogans and they have the T-shirts and it works better. And by the way, one of the other things I would tell the Democratic Party is that The flags and the t-shirts and the slogans are fun. And if you make something more fun,
yeah,
let's not discount that. You're making it fun. Going to a Trump rally, if you're a Donald Trump supporter, is fun.
Yep.
You see a bunch of other people with their, you know, red, white, and blue hats.
Tailgating.
Not, you know, it's that there's a lot to break down with this. But what frustrates me is the type of candidates we're looking at. You know, and we'll have to wait and see tonight where it goes.
I had a great professor in college, and what he said is that a lot of times the downfall of a politician, and he cited Jimmy Carter as one of them, is the smart politicians oftentimes have trouble seeing issues as either right or wrong, when often the truth is very much shades of gray. And people don't like that. They don't want to see it as a black-white decision. They want to know, you know, they don't want to have to break it down to the minutia of the different little parts of it. And
yeah, if you overanalyze it, before we get our talking head in here, a good segue to my next point that I wanted to talk about. We're going to try to book this gentleman on the show, but Podville Media has produced a podcast that Oscar shared with me that is completely dedicated to the discussion of military suicide and the overwhelming number of young people that have come back from conflicts and have been in the military and taken their own lives. And the podcast, what is the podcast called again, Oscar?
I'm pulling up the exact title so you can look. If you search CSTS,
let's talk about guns,
up.
I think.
Yeah,
is
let's
the
talk
episode.
About this. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you think this is a partisan
let's
discussion,
let's talk about
of guns,
your guns.
That's let's talk called. About your guns. If you think this is a partisan discussion or the tried and true old arguments of pro gun, anti gun, I have to tell you, it's not. What this is one of the most reasoned, psychology-based approaches to dealing with these young people that that have overwhelmingly disproportionate suicide rates than the rest of the nation. And it's fascinating to listen to. I think everybody owes it to themselves to give this a listen, because it's just spectacular the way they approach this. And look, there's no guarantee that something bad's not going to happen, but there are things that can be done, and there are people that are studying this and researching this on how we can make this better. You know, one of the things you hear when you hear the gun discussion a lot of times from people is mental health. Well, this is a way of combining the two, and I think in some cases they've made a significant difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a wonderful effort coming out of Podville Media in Washington, D.C. Oscar, I'm really proud of you guys.
Thank you, Mike. And look, it's a team effort. People, I wanted to share it with Mike, one, for his perspective on the topic, and also for his feedback on the production quality.
Well, it's great. It's great.
And I should give a tip of the cap to the entire team here. I would like to highlight Elizabeth Elson, who's the executive producer, and our VP of production here. What I do want to stress is this. On this show, we have had very extensive emotional conversations about guns and gun control. The conversation on Let's Talk About Your Guns, that's the name of the podcast, is solely based around mental health and how to address your loved ones if they're going through crisis, especially mm-hmm. if they have served in the military.
Yeah, because one of the things I got from this podcast, and I urge everybody to listen to Let's Talk About Your Guns. They can get it
anywhere podcasts are found.
iTunes,
Apple Podcasts,
yeah.
Yes.
So one of the things you realize is that in cases of very, very gut-wrenching opening to this podcast where a man is discussing the loss of his son to guns, really death by suicide by cop is what killed him. But he was firing at the officers and he knew he was going to get killed. It was just horrible, horrible, gut-wrenching story. One of the things that jumped out at me was that quite often in these military folks come from houses where there are not gun owners, where it's not a gun culture, and then they You know, they come back from the military, which is a gun culture.
You've and served. You've served in the military.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's when you, you know, you start amassing your weapons in your house. So this is not an anti-gun approach that they take. It is a gun, really a gun storage issue more than anything else, which you would be amazed how a minor modification of that can save lives. And it is absolutely riveting. It is not anti-gun. It is not pro Second Amendment. It is not a political discussion. It is a mental health discussion. And it, I think, is just, you know, fascinating, especially if you happen to have somebody that you know, somebody who is related to somebody you know, that is dealing with this and might have some issues. Another thing that I'll move on because we do have to get our talking head in here. Another thing that jumped out at me is this guy, 6 months out of high school, this young man who took his own life or was killed by sheriffs when he was just firing at them. This individual, this young man out of high school, jumped right into the military and began to serve. And when he came back afterwards, he still didn't have any of the life skills that you have, like paying bills or finding the right job or any of that.
And he's still
a
kid.
Sure, he's not alone. And, it, you know, life can be overwhelming. Life is overwhelming for people from, 18 to 5 to 65. It's everybody, and it's tough. So what I love about this is you listen to this reasoned approach, and I've heard it before. I have heard it before from my own personal therapist. When you are discussing things, and I think we could all learn from this, when you're discussing issues that are life and death, i.e. guns, having a level of humility to analyze things through the lens of another person is extremely important. So please listen to this, and it makes a tremendous amount of sense, and I hope that by more people listening to this podcast that's titled Let's Talk About Your Guns, that differences can be made. And we're going to try to get Dr. West on the show to talk about this, because I've got a lot of questions, not the least of which is, can this be expanded into the world of a young man that has not served in the military that might be a danger to himself or others? So check it out, and Let's Talk About Your Guns, available everywhere. Just Google that, and you'll be able to find
it on any podcast platform.
And really, really terrific job, really.
Rob engineered the majority
of
really
those
sessions.
Rob, really good job.
Thank you.
Really beautiful.
Thank you.
And when we talk about painting with sound.
Oh, it's amazing. And the first person perspective coupled with the narration.
Yep.
And the way they paint background sound that's not distracting from the story, just from a technical aspect, it's a mind blower.
No less than, I would say, a dozen people have touched this project.
It's beautiful. It really is.
And it's the, is it the Center for
Traumatic Stress?
Traumatic Stress.
Yes.
Studies and Podville Media. So check it out. Let's bring in our talking head right now. This is Kevin Scott. Kevin has been with us since the early 1990s and is a podcast listener since day one. He grew up in Long Island, but moved to the D.C. area to attend...
Long Island, Mike.
But moved to the D.C. area to attend GMU, George Mason University. He has been married for 24 years to his wife, Ashley. I love that name. Who is also a fan. This appearance will come as a surprise to her. They live in Arlington, Virginia. Have two sons, Cam and Cooper. Cam and Cooper! one of Michael's best friends. Oh, I love the hat too, pal. Way to go, Cam. I love Cooper because one of my son's best buddies is named Cooper, and he's on his flag football team, and his father's the coach, and he's got this gravelly voice. So flag football consists of a lot of Cooper! Cooper! just had to mention that. Jason started teaching in the year 2000, then took a break to work for some national education organizations. He returned to teaching mid-pandemic in 2020 and currently teaches U.S. history to seventh graders, middle schoolers, or the people I like to refer to as the kindest age for students.
Oh.
Not. Anyway, his wife is also a teacher, preschool music. They often ask each other, What day of TMOS are you on? I love that. He loves the fact that so many teachers listen to TMOS, and he thinks he knows why. We'll ask him about that. He is a bonus show subscriber. He bought TMOS Raw. He has attended every live show except Reno. And here's a fun fact. In February 2019, he was inadvertently our first talking head. And it says his favorite part of the show are Oscar stories. Oscar, what do you think of that?
Thank you, sir. You've got great taste.
The talking head segment, that's one of mine. And when Mike yells at himself. It hasn't been. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
I'm happy about it. Let's see. He relates to each of the show's primary cast members. He plays golf and beer league hockey, and he loves Mike's book recommendations. Well, that's nice of you. He has a sophomore at WVU and loves the Beatles and movies. Kevin also claims that he is not a monster, but also like Oscar, he doesn't want friends. I'm all Kevin. That's it. Kevin once met Billy Joel and Mick Jones of Foreigner. That's the lead singer of Foreigner, right?
Yes,
Kevin, I think. Back in Billy's drinking days, intrigued, you should be. Now here's Kevin Scott, another one of Rob's very well-edited brief bios. So it's finally, after the 14 minutes of intro, we get to you. How are you, Kevin? How's it going?
Great. I'm great. My blood type is B negative. My SAT score.
Don't be Rob. A wise ass.
Rob.
Yeah, sorry.
Rob's B-Wag. Just a sidebar.
It's not just my politics.
Very good. Big blue. Rob, can we possibly, as I've asked multiple times, can we shave these bios?
I'll remove all adjectives.
I mean, I think it's great that he's a bonus show subscriber.
It's great
but,
for them.
You know, it's it's great for what? Oscar?
It's great for them. We know that. We've got your money. Let's move on.
It's good.
Yes. So
I guess
yes.
You're not going to answer me.
I said I would.
Now it's gone to just not even answering.
No, that's, I said that's I wonderful. Would. And then, Oscar did his funny joke, and okay. We waited for
someone
that.
Someone had to speak.
Yeah. Well, please, next time, don't let it be you. Mike, we're going to have shorter bios from now on.
You said that last time.
Yes, but now they're going to be really short.
Hi, Kevin. How are you? Sorry for that little family tiff that we had.
Great. I'm very happy to come in after such uplifting conversation this morning. It's been a real delight to listen to the show so far.
Yeah, it's you know, we get heavy sometimes, and if you check it out, it's worthwhile. I'm fascinated by the fact that in 2019 you were inadvertently our first talking head. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, so you probably don't remember because you do a lot of shows, but this is like a Sharpie on my brain because it was definitely a key moment for us in our fandom with TMOS. And long story short, I basically asked Oscar if we could pop in and visit Podville, or at the time Podcast Village. Correct. And he was like, sure, great. And we met downstairs in the Starbucks and he said to Ashley, you know, you should come in the studio and just sit in. This was the day after the Super Bowl. It was also the day after our son's confirmation. So there was a bit of drinking that day. And we came in and we were not in our best shape, I don't think. And Ashley went in and sat in and she started talking about her business as a music together and kids music. And Rob played some Slayer or some Megadeth or something. and I was on the other side of the wall and watching Pony do the ones and zeros and Maddie make notes. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was awesome to see the behind the scenes.
But to be truthful, you couldn't hear what was going on, right?
I could hear through like the bleed of...
A glass that wasn't soundproof.
Can I stop you? Because a question has popped into my brain about the confirmation. So I was confirmed and I'm looking back. I'm trying to think back to. So you had a confirmation for your, 13-year-old, something like that? 12, 13-year-old?
Let's go with that. It's not 13, but yes.
How old was he? Well, how old? I mean, I thought I got confirmed. Well, how old are they when they get?
You get right before high school, but right before you get your first, you know what?
So I did too, Mike. I grew up Catholic, but we are raising him in the Episcopalian faith.
Oh, it's Episcopalian. So he was 30 when he got confirmed, right?
large time window.
There were some hiccups in the process, but yeah. So he was basically, I think, an eighth grader at the time.
Eighth grader,
like 12, 13.
Yeah. And you had a big shindig after the confirmation?
Right. You do the thing at the church and then everybody comes back to the house and you start with mimosas and whatever, that kind of thing, Bloody Marys.
Okay.
And then
on Super Bowl Sunday?
The same night. So it's just keep going.
Right. Wow. Yeah, that's cool.
sort of a marathon day.
Got like a group
so
for that.
You're on the other side of the wall watching it, watching how the sausage is made. And then what happened after that?
So Ashley very dryly delivered. You said something like, "What does your husband do?" Or something came up. You were in the midst of a gastro issue at the time, and she dryly delivered that I was a doctor, and you sailed off with that message. And so, okay, bring him in. And I came in, but the shift from one room to the other, I had no audio, no idea. I listed later, of course, you were going on very delightful things to say about doctors, but yeah. I was not a doctor. and I plugged in and was confused. And then you kind of gave me a hard time, which I was expecting. And you said something along the lines of, "What do you do?" And I was embarrassed to say I was not a doctor. And then you threw me out of the studio and the show went on. And
Because I don't remember exactly what happened. Oscar obviously doesn't.
Like Homie the Clown, you just said. Get out of here.
Yeah. Was there a reason that your lovely wife, Ashley, called you a doctor? Was there any reason for that?
No, I think she was just trying to mess with you a little bit. And she really did deliver very dryly. And again, not in, tip-top shape here.
Right.
And we were very surprised that she got as much talk time as she did. And this is why I call her the original talking head, because it was very spontaneous.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, you guys know your business better than I do, but I think you were excited to have something different the day after the Super Bowl, which is kind of a depressing day, let's be honest, in American culture.
Yeah.
So I think you were just happy to have, somebody else in the studio. And
yeah, Mike, we've always had, especially, if we've had a night and you come in to work in the morning, the fact that you all were there, I remember walking to Starbucks and being like, "Oh, they actually posted because it's the day after the Super Bowl."
Yeah, right? We didn't even know about the confirmation.
And you guys looked like you're in kind of rough shape, but I was like, everybody was in rough shape.
I don't remember. I wish I'm old. Yeah, I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. That's the way that goes.
It's branded into my brain because shortly after that, you said off air, "No more guests for the next year."
Did I really?
Yeah, it's all fair. You're like, bringing people into the studio.
My recollection, the talking head segment's one of my favorite of all time. I love it.
Kevin, my recollection is that you came in not knowing why he was asking you medical questions, but you tried to play along, didn't you? Like, you kind of bought into it for a second.
Yeah, briefly, but then I was like, "What the hell is going on?" And I realized that there was no good ending to that story.
Oh, that's so. Oscar and Rob might pass along, and I'm sure you just saw an example of it. That look, occasionally in my history, I've been referred to once or twice as prickly. Sorry
about that.
Mike,
I enjoy that.
Thank you.
The earbuds in my ears, that I enjoy that. I don't know that I would want to be where they are sitting right now.
Fair enough.
They deal with it every day and they know it means nothing. Rob knows it means nothing. If it meant something, Rob wouldn't be here anymore. That's just the way. No. Rob would leave. Yeah. Rob would leave. I don't mean anything by it. I will have a huge fight with Oscar or Rob, or they will have a huge fight with me, and then we will text each other something funny that evening. I mean,
if it meant something, I would have a drinking problem.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm thinking out loud right now. Okay. Thank you.
Well, you
had to be snarky, you incredible.
You're dry now.
No, I'm dry as a bone. Dry as a bone.
No, I think that if... The way I would look at it is, I don't think in any other incarnation that I've held, things inside for a shorter period of time. I mean, it's on and gone.
Yeah.
More than it ever has been. And we go our separate ways. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. We really do.
I called Mike yesterday and it was a brief call. I knew
Super
he didn't want to be
call.
On the phone. I got that tone.
I had food in my mouth. Like, I was sitting at the dinner table and the phone rang. Yes. He didn't hear what I said when the phone. Yeah. Who is it?
It's Oscar. Mike, I've said it for over 25 years, over a quarter of a century. The secret to a happy marriage is time apart.
Right.
And we have plenty. It is.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, we have to take a break to get more of Kevin we've monopolized Kevin's time. We're going to take a break, and that's it. Kevin, you're getting technically a second segment, which no one ever gets.
Look at that honor. Can we talk about his hockey game when we come back, Mike? Look at that.
Talk about his hockey game. I want to hear about Billy Joel. I want to hear about being a teacher. A lot of good stuff to talk about with Kevin, our talking head, on the Mike O'Mara Show when we come back right after this.
down the Mississippi, down in New Orleans.
Well, I'm going to New Orleans.
City of New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Of New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Way down yonder in New Orleans.
The town in New Orleans.
I'm walking to New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Michael Mara Show live Saturday, April 15th, 2023 at the legendary House of Blues in New Orleans.
How y'all are? I'm glad for you to see me, I guarantee.
Tickets available now at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Ain't it bitchin'?
Turn the microphone on! Turn the microphone on!
You know, I'm doing a lot of things. I've got different...
No! You're not doing a lot of things. It's a simple job. A f***ing orangutan could do it.
That's not nice.
I don't want to be nice.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Wimp. Candy ass.
You don't have to be like that.
Oh, I don't? Then remember to put the microphone back on.
Whew. Somebody got off on the wrong side of this.
Organic comedy. Oh,
thank you.
thank you.
Yes, Kevin, that was for you. Let's talk about the one thing that might be missing from your daily routine.
Thank you.
Hydration. Although I didn't do the mic thing on purpose. Liquid IV fuels your everyday well-being by helping you stay hydrated. There it is. I got mine here, too. There it is in my red Solo cup, sort of. It fuels your everyday well-being, helping you stay hydrated. Just one stick, you get five essential vitamins, and you're hydrating two times faster than water alone. Cooler weather makes it easier to miss signs of dehydration. I agree with that. Happens down here.
Yes.
Overheating, perspiration. It's even more important to stay hydrated in the cooler, colder weather. Hydration is also essential when traveling, especially if you're on a plane. Don't take a long-haul flight without Liquid IV. It's made with premium ingredients, and it's non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Plus, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV has donated over 25 million servings in over 50 countries around the world. Plus, it's delicious. It's a great way to start your day. So be like me, drink Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. We've got a talking head, Kevin Scott, that we're speaking with. Oscar wanted to ask him about his hockey. You're in a beer league for hockey, Kevin, eh?
Yeah. Did you mean that, Oscar, or the bubble hockey?
The bubble hockey behind you on screen.
Yeah.
That's like the old school, right?
Yeah, like it looks like a realistic vintage bubble hockey.
Is that the one where the puck pops up through the? Yep.
During that commercial read, Oscar's already priced him on a. He's been on his computer. He's been pricing the hockey games.
We can sell Kevin's game. What teams are inside your bubble hockey vintage?
Oh, so this is the Miracle on Ice. This is the USSR versus USA version.
Oh, yes! So it's vintage.
Neat.
Vintage.
Yes. And they were the enemy then and they're the enemy now, right?
I said that forever.
I did not buy it for that reason, but it's probably about 5 or 6 years old when the boys were a little younger. It's a crowd favorite. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of fun, even for grownups.
Do they make one with the Hartford Whalers?
You know, actually, Rob, they might. They do a lot of retros of these because they, you know, money to burn. So
wow, that's cool.
The Whalers just fight,
though.
You can
still get a hockey.
They don't really play.
Played golf yesterday with a very, very well-known hockey player. I'm not going to violate his privacy here, but played golf with him, and he was not only a coach, but a player for a decade or so in the NHL and had a good time yesterday. When it says you play beer league hockey, is that a thing? Is that like, do you go out? I just don't think, we had beer after we play with the Capitals alumni, but I'm just curious what kind of beer league hockey you play in.
Oh, beer league is just sort of the catch-all for adult old men trying to continue their youth in some way. We play, you know, I play it at a formerly known as Kettler, MedStar, Iceplex.
Where the Caps practice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So we typically play after 10 p.m. Last night I had a game. It started at 10:15. It's delightful to, you know, try to go to work the next day after that. And there's some, you know, some parking lot attendance beyond the game itself.
Part of the deal.
It's great.
Little Labatt's, after the game, you know? That's the way it goes. Mad respect for people that do that. I think it's amazing. And only people that play it would know just the kind of shape you have to be in. I threw my back out, blew my spine out when I was in my mid-30s, which sucks. But I would be one of those guys playing today. I just think it's so cool that people are able to do that, and it keeps you in shape. Let's talk about Billy Joel, shall we? you met Billy Joel and Mick Jones both at the same time or separately?
No, at the same time. So I worked in a record store when they had those back on Long Island where I grew up. And the store was an independent store. So it wasn't like Tower or, you know, one of the big chains. And the guys that owned it had three shops out in the Hamptons and one shop closer to where I lived, which was about the middle of the island, basically. And so every summer when it got busy, this is, you know, before Amazon and all that. So my crappy old car would drive out there to work for the day. And I would have a few boxes of CDs and stuff, cassettes in the back of the car. So I'm out in the Hamptons and Southampton, and we always had people coming in, and you know, it's the summer in the Hamptons in the 90s and
celeb, right?
Yeah. And I never really saw anybody. I mean, we had like, you know, the credit card slips with the signatures of Bono and others, you know, that are Spielberg up there. Cause that they didn't have, you know, they had, that was their record store when they were out there for the summer. That's where they got their music. Yeah. And so there was a benefit concert that was going on with Paul Simon and Billy Joel and a couple others and out in Montauk. And we sold the tickets, and the tickets went in like an hour or something ridiculous. And so Billy Joel walked in, was on a Harley and got off the Harley and waltzed in and kind of tapped his hands on the counter and drumming to the beat of REM, which was playing on the on the stereo, and said, "How are the tickets selling?" And you know, my manager's like, "What, Billy? They're gone. They've been gone for weeks." Like, what are you talking
about? That's good. What do you wanted to hear, though? Right? Right? That's it.
And Mick Jones stuck his hand out and said, "Hi, I'm Mick Jones from Foreigner." And I was like, you know, I think I was 18.
Was Mick Jones on the back of the Harley, on Billy's Harley, or in his own Harley?
Two Harleys. And I believe there was maybe some drinking involved before the visit.
Lunchtime? Was it lunchtime?
It was legal then.
It was a little after lunch.
Sure. Afternoon. Bottle of red, bottle of white.
Yeah, besides just coming in to check on ticket, did they browse through the records a little bit?
They did. They didn't buy anything, but they did browse through. I think they were looking for, you know, folks to say hi to or other. This is in the Christie days. I don't know exactly when, but it was, you know, that time frame. So I kind of, you know, did a lap around the store, said hi to a couple people, you know, and then fired up the Harleys just like your sound effect. And
that's so cool. That would have been so cool to have that moment. And they probably, I'm thinking maybe, you know, they were festive enough to say, "Hey, let's go in and see how the tickets are selling."
You know, it's Long Island. So Billy Joel is, you know, one step below Jesus. And it was a pretty big deal to have, you know, for me to see him come in and just be a normal guy and also put my eyes back into my head.
I'm curious about your Long Island upbringing. I detect, I went to Marist College for 2 years, which was, I think, at least, and I'm not exaggerating, thanks for the applause, 80% Long Island students at there. And I detect absolutely none of the sound from your voice that I got from most of the student body at Marist College. It's a pissa. Come on. You don't have a New York accent. What's the deal with that?
I've been here a long time. There are words that drop in and out that I get picked on. So your now home state of Florida is Florida, not Florida.
Florida.
The O sounds catch me. It's still early in the morning. If I get tired or have a few beverages, sometimes it starts to slide out a little more. Mm-hmm. I've lived here a long time. I worked a little bit to try to get rid of it because I got picked on a lot in college about, you know, my accent. And it's not chocolate, it's chocolate. That kind of chocolate.
I want a chocolate bar, and I want it now. And the thing that the number one thing that I got from Long Island, and I was 2.5 hours in the other direction over in Hartford, Connecticut, but it was a pizza. It was a wicked pizza.
That's not
New England. That was Long Island that I got that. Hey, Brew. There was one guy named Brew.
Of course there was.
There was, I think, another guy named Yarmo. And Yarmo ate like 11 Jack tacos at the Jack in the Box in Poughkeepsie, New York one time. But Nets neither here.
Did you go to the funeral?
Oh, they're probably all gone now. Anyway, you're the noble profession of teaching, and in particular teaching to seventh graders. I always tell people, for me personally, once I got to high school, it was great. I just loved high school. I enjoyed it. I was totally into it. Hung out in my sophomore and junior year with the seniors. It was fun. Middle school was difficult. I found middle school to be a slog because the kids were cruel. And you're teaching them. And they're right. It's just it's a tough age, seventh and eighth grade, right? And there you are in the middle of it. Tell us all about your teaching experience, because I'm curious about that.
It's how much time do we have? No, it's not that exciting. It is a noble profession. I did it for a while. I went away, COVID hit. I had a little bit of a kind of a come to Jesus or what am I doing with my life moment. And an opportunity came to go back and I thought this was the right time to do it. So when I came back to teaching after more than a decade, I was doing it from here, from my basement and, doing it virtually. And that was difficult. And it still is difficult coming back out of that. But I mean, middle school is never dull. That's what I always say. Like, it is unbelievably challenging. It is the hardest job I've ever had. It's much worse than dealing with adults at times, but at the same time, it's often easier than dealing with adults, in a lot of ways, because, you're shaping them. They have a reason to kind of learn how to act or how to form an opinion or how to be critical thinkers, right? These are the things we're trying to do. On election day, we're trying to make them critical thinkers, but so it's, it is that, aspect that drew me back, me sitting in meetings and going from one conference room to another all day, which is what I did for a long time, is not always the most exciting thing. I did get to see a lot of the country when I was doing that. So that was cool. But teaching is it is the hardest job you'll ever love, as the saying goes. And
good for you.
Middle school history right now has been just one fascinating day after another.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it sounds like you're into
it. Really
love
your job.
Glad you're doing that. Yes, Rob.
Seventh graders, they're about 12 years old, probably, roughly. That's the average. Is there any era or segment of American history that they really grab onto and find interesting, or is the whole thing a slog?
No, I mean, so I teach the later part of American history. So from after the Civil War up to the present.
Okay.
So I would say the biggest, there's probably two or three units, of study that we get into that they love. The Civil Rights Movement is up there. They're fascinated by how the people behaved and did things. They can't believe it. And then when I say, like, this is in your grandparents' lifetime, for example, that blows their minds. The wars, as you might expect, the wars, the boys like Michael, gets into the war stuff. So if we're talking about World War I or World War II, every single year, a bunch of kids teach me a bunch of stuff where they're like, hey, did you know about this plane or this tank or this battle or this? And we are covering in middle school just the surface level stuff. We're just, we're kind of dipping our toe into the historical stuff. We're not diving in to get into like which tank blew up the other tank or that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, those units are probably
the biggest ones.
Yeah. You're really, really doing, I have mad respect for people that do what you do. Before we let you go, I got one last question, because Oscar's noted twice on this little bio page of yours. One, that you love his stories, and his stories are just so filled with naked cruelty and lack of human connection. And then it says here that, like Oscar, you don't want friends. So I just I want to ask you about that before we let you go. You seem to connect with our soulless monster over here.
No, yeah, I think that might be twisted a little bit. I have reached out to Oscar a few times to be friends.
Here we go.
And we have
here
a hard time connecting. And I will say there was a global pandemic in the middle of all.
Yeah, it was in all the papers. Yeah.
And you're like, hey, we're all vaccinated. Let's
go
out to
public.
So you
do want friends.
Yeah, I do want to hang out with this guy's, look, who
would
want
to
hang out with this
guy? No, I was talking to Kevin. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Kevin.
Excuse me.
No,
you'd like Oscar to be your friend.
Yeah, I have great friends and I'm welcome to new friends. So I would love for us to do a double date or something like that. But no pressure. He's a busy guy. I don't want to go to Podville on a Saturday night. That's
Jesus Christ.
Sounds like a swinging invitation to me.
No.
Well, it doesn't sound like
Ashley
you got one.
Ashley is very attractive.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Sounds like you're left out in the cold on that one, Rob. I don't know what's going on.
You know what? I'm fine with that.
Rob's dry.
I'm no fun
anymore.
But
that doesn't mean he can't. He's still jolly. I would travel with Rob dry in an airport.
You haven't yet, Mike.
I used to
be fun.
If I get there earlier to New Orleans, I might just wait for you, just so I can walk you to the baggage claim,
That'll be great. Fun. And you can say, hey, are you excited to be in New Orleans to not eat or drink? I'll say, yep.
Kevin, is there anybody you want to say hi to before we let you go? Your two segments on the Mike O'Brien
show. I know. I'll keep it short. I only have about 40 or 50. First of all, Ashley, of course, that's number one. This is a surprise to her. She will hear it later and yell at me. And then, Barb and Chuck Moody are actually friends in real life.
Oh, here we go.
Saw them the other day. They're great. Zoolander.
He's, oh my God.
Yeah, wow. Zoolander, the Cake and Cookies crew, whoever is out there that is a fan of that. I mean, I'm a big fan of all the TMOS adjacent podcasts.
Awesome. He's great. Awesome.
So that's, I hope Maddie's doing well. I enjoyed getting to meet her a couple times. Yeah. I would love to get her back.
We'd never know.
We communicate with her offline, Mike.
Okay.
And then so there's a doctor I met in New Orleans. This is the shirt from New Orleans last time. Who I think is who you confused me for. Correct. Back in the day. Who is a doctor in Atlanta, Dr. JP, great guy. Rob and Joe show is an entertaining thing, and they give you guys shout outs.
All right, Kevin, that's quite enough. All right, we're all set with that. Thank you very much. Yeah. Leave you two segments, but we can't go any further. Thank you very much. Continue the good work that you're doing. You're a good man, and you were fascinating to talk to. I appreciate that, and give our very best to your lovely wife, Ashley. Will you please, Kevin?
Yes, I will. Thank you so much, guys.
That's Kevin Scott, and he's our talking head for today. That was fun. We will take a break and come back with the news of the day.
Ooh.
On the Mike O'Brien Show.
Order.
Had a great drive to school with my kid who was talking about Harvard. Said he wants to be a lawyer. Dad, I think I want to be a lawyer. I said, why is that? He said, because I like to argue.
He could be, you know what? Kid lawyer.
Your Honor, I object.
I'll allow it.
Have you been hurt on a podcast? It's no time to play grab ass, fella. It's time to get tough and call the law offices of Michael William O'Mara, kid attorney.
So an Irishman walks into a pub.
O'Mara is on the case, and you'll get the money you deserve. The Mike O'Mara bonus show is so funny, it should be illegal. Get a bonus show subscription today through the link at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Michael William O'Mara, kid attorney.
Oh, yeah, it's driving me nuts.
He knows all about the birds and the bees, but it's his opponents in the courtroom who are really
you can't handle the truth.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, that one hits close to home. That's all ego. I love it. Your fall routines are in full swing and your schedule is getting busier, but that's okay because Freshly is here to help. Let Freshly take care of your weekly meal prep with satisfying dishes delivered straight to your door. Get started today and you'll get $140 off your first 5 orders. That's over a month of nutritiously portioned meals, all without the shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleanup. Freshly fits your lifestyle with plans tailored to every dietary preference. Choose from their signature collection or try their many gluten-free, dairy-free, and plant-based options, as well as carb and calorie-conscious favorites. Oscar loves Freshly, too. It's the Thai green curry bowl that's on your list now, hey?
It's the variety. It's the ease. It's the freshness. Whatever you like, think Freshly.
They got it.
It also comes with sweet potato and mushrooms and basmati rice. And it's ready in 3 minutes. Yum. Revamp your routine this fall with Freshly and save now for a limited time. Order today and get $140 off your first 5 orders at Freshly.com/TMOS. That's Freshly.com/TMOS for $140 off your first 5 orders. Freshly.com/TMOS for $140 off your first 5 orders. I said it 3 times, for God's sake.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. And Chris Evans, dreamy man, has been named People Magazine's sexiest man alive for 2022.
Did they even look at my tape?
Rob, every year you get disappointed. You're the first runner-up, which is no slouch. I've always told you that.
Yeah, but you know what? It's an honor just to be nominated, sure, but I want them. Mm-hmm. I want the medal.
I think you have to have... You've been handsome since what? What month this year?
Oh, March 17th.
There you go.
That's when it started. But I had a brief run of handsomeness in the past.
Stephen Colbert... made the announcement last night on The Late Show. Chris wasn't on the show because he was busy filming the Netflix movie Red One. Sounds like a military movie.
Yep.
But they did send a video of his co-star, The Rock, presenting him with the honor. Chris told People, quote, My mom will be so happy. She's proud of everything I do. But this is something she can really brag about. That's funny. He added, quote, this whole thing is tough to be interviewed about. It feels like a weird form of humble bragging. Really, this will just be a point of bullying from friends. It's ripe for harassment. But at least he'll always have this. Even when he's not too sexy anymore. He said, quote, it's something that as I become old and saggy, I could look back on and say, I remember then. I'm lucky to be in the discussion in any capacity. Aww. It's always a fun award that they give people, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that. It's a lot of fun. It looks like huffing, unfortunately, may have led to Aaron Carter's drowning in his bathtub. According to TMZ, multiple cans of compressed air were found in his bathroom and bedroom, along with prescription pills. The last time anyone saw Aaron alive was 2 a.m. Friday when police showed up for a welfare check. Aaron's live-in housekeeper answered the door, and when Aaron found out they were there, he told them to leave and told the housekeeper not to bother him. She didn't see Aaron all day Friday, and she's the one who discovered his body Saturday morning around 11 a.m. when she went into his room to see if he wanted coffee. Police say there were signs of decomposition, so he probably had been dead for a while. Ooh. That just sucks.
It does. Too young.
Always seems like there's nothing you could have done. Steven Spielberg's got a new biopic, really, an autobiographical, biographical, Fablemans. It's called The Fablemans, semi-autobiographical account of his childhood, and apparently he got super emotional while he was making it. Seth Rogen plays a family friend in the movie, and he says, he would cry a lot, openly, and we'd show up on set, and he'd be, you know, just a certain piece of wardrobe that just make him cry. I saw him cry dozens of times throughout the filming of the movie, which was actually very beautiful.
Seth Rogen, don't you play? You play Steven Spielberg's dad's pot dealer, right?
Yeah, you know, it's always typecasting with me. Gabriel LaBelle, who plays the Spielberg character, he adds, quote, sometimes we'd all do a group hug afterward. At the end of the day, you could feel it. It's a really personal project. If it's a really personal project and it's Spielberg, I think it's got to be probably wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine having the Spielberg eye for detail and the resources at his disposal to recreate your childhood?
I think that's got to
be crazy for him.
Because I fantasized about it. I've always thought, what would it be like to, you know, have somebody play my dad and do that?
Yeah.
I think everybody, and so he's going to do it, and he's the master filmmaker. I hope it's good.
I do too.
I hope it gets good reviews.
I do too.
I really do. Daylight savings time ended, saving time rather, not savings.
Right.
Ended Sunday. Excuse me.
Oh.
Still feeling a little drowsy. The good news is a poll found this should be the last day you feel that way. 2,000 people were asked how long it takes for them to adjust to shifting the clocks. The average answer was 66 hours. Where do they pull that out of their ass?
Idiots.
Seriously.
Especially this hours. When you fall back, you shouldn't
Isn't
be drowsy.
Isn't everything automatic now?
Yeah.
The average person should be back to normal. That's just crap.
What time am I going to be back to normal today so I can set a clock?
7 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. Jeopardy.
I can see it for kids. But, I mean, a daylight savings time is one bad hangover. Like, that's all it is.
It's not even that. So. Not even that. You know. Trust me, I know.
That's why I have a product.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, Mike, how are you enjoying the
grass? The grass of the father.
Last night.
Yes. Dad grass.
Down two of those shuckers.
Tasty.
Yankee candles are always popular this time of year, or you could change things up and buy one of these instead. Vlasic is selling a new scented candle that smells like a dill pickle.
Mm.
It also looks exactly like one of their jars. Giant.
Jars.
So you can't even tell it's a candle unless you're looking closely.
Hey, what's that? Across the room. Is that a jar of pickles? Why is it on fire? Why are those pickles on fire?
You did it. Honey. It's a candle. It's a candle. I thought it was some pickles outside, and they're not even in the fridge. All right.
That's anyway. A good white elephant gift.
They did it for National
Green
Pickle
elephant.
Day, which is November 14th, if you're celebrating. They don't even go on sale until then.
I love pickles, but you know what? I found something that has eclipsed that kind of pickle, and that is it's available at Costco and other places in your refrigerated food section. It's called Grillo's Pickles.
Grillo's.
They're the best pickles I've ever... They're as good as New York deli pickles. They're so
crisp,
garlicky, and dilly. They're almost upsetting. They're so good.
This man likes them because they're calorie friendly.
You can eat them all day, but you know
all
what?
Day.
You can't light them on fire like a candle. No.
It's not a pickle jar. There's a candle in it. America. Duh. This is good news. Hollywood's Biggest Night will be hosted once again by Jimmy Kimmel. I'm very happy about
that's
that.
That's good news.
It's a thankless
good choice. It's thankless, but he handles it. Yeah. I love him.
He's great.
I think he's great. And he does material. That's what's great about mm-hmm. it. It'll be his third time taking the stage. He hosted the 89th and 90th in 2017 to 2018. The 95th annual award show will be held on March 12th at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. Kind of strange now with the Oscars since none of us go to the theater anymore.
Yeah.
Very, very weird.
But, you know, this is really a tremendous pat on his back because he's approaching three times. That's nearly Carson numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really, it's really being embraced by the industry. And
also,
that's great.
Ratings will be up because after last year's assault.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yes. Let's see who slaps Jimmy. Here's a little something for you. A video of a naked man with a dead partridge dangling from his genitals has gone viral, with several people calling it bizarre. The video, which has since garnered more than 125,000 views on social, as well as racking up more than 1,100 comments in 24 hours, shows the hunter standing on a cliff in nothing but socks and boots. He also clutches a rifle, and on the rifle, you have several partridges hanging from the butt of the gun and the barrel of the gun. So between that, there are three groups, one from his genitals, one from the butt of the gun, and one from the barrel of the gun. Now, I don't mind this guy being naked, but why did he kill the entire Partridge family?
Susan Day. Sad, right?
Sad, right? Sorry, there you go. It's a Partridge Family's TV show.
Used to be a show, Oscar.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a pickle.
Why is it on fire?
I don't get it. We will take a break and come back with something right here on the Michael Mara Show.
Hey, come here. Buy from Vince's Diet Warehouse and get free gumballs.
Anybody can sell you what they think you want, but if you need new tires for your ride or the sweet, satisfying pick-me-up of a gumball, you can't miss shopping online through the shopping center at MikeOMaraShow.com. Target and Walmart has what you're looking for. Have it shipped to your door or pick it up at the store. You can't lose because you help support TMOS. And here's something else to chew on.
Gumballs and tires, he can't miss. Trust me. Get out of there.
Embarrassing. Anyway,
that was
back
your catchphrase, wasn't it? Trust me.
Yeah, trust me. From the first moment we saw a pair of Rothy's, we said, "Wow, those are cool looking shoes." Then we tried them on. Immediate comfort. When we found out that they're made with 100% recycled materials, we were sold. Whether it's the driving loafer or the RS01 sneaker, you are gonna love them too. And now Rothy's has just launched an all new men's shoe called the Monty.
Oh.
Monty.
Oh, Monty.
It's like a cross between a dress shoe and a sneaker that you can eat.
No, you
can wear absolutely everywhere this holiday season. So cool. They also have two sneaker styles. The RS02, a more relaxed lace-up that's like a t-shirt for your feet. And the City Slip-On sneaker, a refined slip-on with a roomier fit. Men's Health named the RS01 sneaker one of their top three sustainable sneakers during their 2022 Sneaker Awards. No wonder Rothy's best-selling men's shoes get a 5-star review from almost every customer. If you're looking for great gifts this holiday, Rothy's has you covered with shoes and bags for both men and women. This season, find out why people fall hard for Rothy's with new shoes, bags, and more for everybody. You can snag something for yourself or someone you love for a limited time. Get $20 off your first purchase at Rothy's.com/TMOS. That's $20 off at ROTHY. There's one! Which one is that? What is that? The RS02?
This is the sneaker. Yes.
That's the one. Oh, wow, that's
awesome. And I purchased
awesome.
This with my hard-earned cash, Mike. I loved it so much.
Look
I
at the Rothy's that they're helmet. Can you turn that sneaker the other way so I can see the laces?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the Chelsea boot. That. Don't sleep on the Chelsea boot. It's my favorite pair of shoes right now.
Hold your shoe next to Rob's shoe.
Yeah, a slight difference. This looks like something that goes outside of this one.
It's like a toddler's. Yeah. The kids section's to the left.
CHYS.com/TMYS. We only have time for a super rapid break. Can we do the guessing game in a super short amount of time
before you put your shoe on? It's a slip-on, so it takes almost no time. Ta-da!
That's exciting. Okay. What is this guessing game you brought to us today?
For 2022, the top 10 highest paid dead celebrities.
So this is the estate of a celebrity.
And what they've earned in 2022. This is via Forbes.
I don't know. What are we going to guess? Because
We've got the usuals, right? They've got Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, 75. Hold it. Slow down. We can take these one at a time. Michael Jackson at 75 million. Elvis Presley, 110 million. He's up this year, I think, because of the movie.
Correct.
Probably.
Prince.
Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda just edged out. Prince edged out. No Prince.
Dead celebrities. Dead celebrities.
John Lennon.
John Lennon is just off the top 10 at 16 million.
He's there, though.
Yeah. And with John Lennon, you can think of there's another one that's obvious.
Van Morrison. George Harrison.
George Harrison at 12 million. Yes, exactly.
Van Morrison.
Van Morrison, of course. He had a hit record 35 years ago.
Try a little harder.
I just gave two.
All right, let's see. I'll give you clues. For the top, the number one, think author. Author with a long, long stream of success bolstered by motion picture enjoyment.
Wow. I didn't know Stephen King was dead.
No, he's alive. He's alive.
What is it? Patriot Games?
No, it's not him. It's not him.
Ernest Hemingway.
No, not him. Think more fantasy.
William Shakespeare.
No, he is dead. I'll give you that.
J.R. Tolkien.
J.R.R. Tolkien is the top earning dead celebrity of them all. This year, he made $500
million.
$500 million.
Wow, that's a ton of money, Mr. Power.
Number two, you got to think sports. Think sports.
Dead sports celebrity. Mickey Mantle?
No, someone who probably could still be playing, younger than much younger than Mickey Mantle.
But is deceased.
Yeah, he is deceased. Tragic circumstances.
And he makes a ton of money. His estate makes tons of money. And he tragically passed?
Tragically passed.
Roberto Clemente?
No, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. The number of... He made $400 million.
Great guess.
He made $400
million. $400
million.
Estate of a
Jackie
sports...
Jackie Robinson.
No.
What's the sport?
Basketball.
Tragically died...
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant is exactly right. He had $400 million.
Tom Clancy isn't on there?
No.
Damn.
Okay. Number three, another musician. I think we lost him last year, and he has two different colored eyes.
David Bowie.
David Bowie, exactly right. $250 million. This one surprised me.
Young Americans. This is a young American.
I'm surprised that at number five, this gentleman would be worth between what Elvis and what Michael Jackson earned at $100 million. I think a lot of it probably having to do with sampling, and there was a tremendous to-do about burying his body. Another musician.
Jim Morrison.
No, I'm sorry. That is incorrect.
There wasn't a to-do. It's just he's got a famous gravesite in France, right?
Yeah, but this guy, there was a to-do about burying his body.
Bobby Brown.
No, but you got the last name right.
He's not dead.
I thought he passed away, no?
No.
Mm-mm. No. Oh,
sorry.
But you did get the name half right.
All right, so a to-do about
James Brown.
James Brown is right.
James Brown.
Yes.
$100 million just for being James Brown. I was very shocked about that.
That's fantastic. I love that.
This guy was a poet, and he gets his song. There's one particular song that has tremendous staying power. It's oftentimes associated with, I would say, funerals and inspirational typings.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider.
That's exactly right, Mike. The spider himself. Earned $55 million.
So he's a poet.
I think his lyrics were associated with a song. I think he's a poet and songwriter.
Could you sing a song?
Well, I can tell you the song.
Hum it?
No, no, no.
No, don't tell me a song. No,
no, no, no.
Hallelujah.
Yes. By?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Jeff Buckley.
Jesus Christ, our Savior.
No, Jeff Buckley did the song, but the guy who wrote it, Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen. Oh. $55 million.
And
then, by the way, I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
I think he won the election over in Israel. And he said, this is great. I can't believe the people back. Came up.
The people, he's back and better than ever. It's a big trend across the country. The right-wing candidate probably going to be duplicated in the United States of America.
Two more, and one, I'd say they're both artists, cartoonists that appeal to the younger generation, I would say. Younger kids.
Oh.
Mel Blanc?
No, but these are a cartoonist.
Stan Lee?
No, I'm sorry, that is not right.
Oh, God. Give me a better hint.
Okay, let's $32 million. He is not a medical doctor.
Dr. Seuss.
Exactly. $32 million for Dr. Seuss.
Seems
or
low.
As we pronounce it in my house, Dr. Seuss.
Why would you say that?
Because my dad would come down and say, I'm psyched to read this to you.
Money. And our last one, just at the bottom of the top 10 at $24 million. He is a daily cartoonist. And even after he died, his comic strip kept rolling on. Value, $24 million.
Dilbert.
Oh, I know.
They would do reruns after he passed.
This is Peanuts.
Exactly.
This is Peanuts. Yes. And it's Charles Schulz.
Exactly. $24 million. You know what? That's a pretty good living for being dead, isn't it?
That's pretty good. Yeah. So for the Schulz family.
Yes.
You know, it's a shame that John Banner passed.
It is.
Schulz.
I know. I know nothing.
I know nothing, nothing. The Frenchman makes such great strudel. I'm in a weird way, I think. I think I know why. But anyway, that's it. But then again, I can wake up with my coffee.
Yes.
You've got a whole grocery store there.
Oh, I got everything in here right now. I got
Liquid IV.
Yeah.
You got my dab grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can ride around the house on an electric bike.
Yes.
We have to take a break. We'll come back. Is it Sound Town after
this? Mike, we got to go to the town.
All right, the town coming up next, right here on the Mike.
If you're lost
show
in America and need some laughs, pull off at the next exit for the latest bonus show.
When the rats see me, they know I mean business. Philly doesn't know they're mean and dirty.
Honest to God almighty.
I'm willing to evolve. Settle down.
No, I'm not going to settle down,
you
Rob.
Settle down.
I don't know all the Senate races, but I know Scott this.
I'm the best man.
But I won't hold her hand.
iPads are horrible.
I'm a mushmouth.
The TMOS bonus show helps prevent breakdowns and delivers more laughs and smiles per mile. Load up on a subscription now at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Oh, by the way, our hairpiece secret is off.
Welcome back to the... Did you say you love mornings?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different energy.
All right, then don't give me crap when it switches back, okay? Because I'm just living my life.
I love when he talks during promos. I like the fact that during the Talking Heads segment, Kevin Scott said, thank you.
Yeah, I know.
Love
I understand.
That.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. A recent report shows consumer debt, like interest rates, increasing to historic numbers. A lot of you have home equity, many homeowners. It's a good time to consider tapping into it to save money every month. According to Mark Livingstone, our good buddy at Cornerstone First Financial, just because you have a low interest rate, that does not mean you shouldn't refinance and take cash out to save money. And if you were to wrap a car loan, credit cards, or student loans in, you can save hundreds, if not thousands, per month, even with a higher rate. If cash flow relief is the priority and you want to get your head above water, the rate's irrelevant. Credit cards and second mortgages are in the double digits. So, in some cases, the cash out is tax deductible. Call now and check it out because they know this at Cornerstone First Financial. They can do something for you. They're the best. Whether it's a purchase or a refinance, call Cornerstone First Financial today. They're the number one rated mortgage company of all TMOS listeners. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Am I okay here? Because I've got one more commercial. Did I miss a commercial?
No, you did all four.
Okay.
You did Liquid, Freshly, Rothy's, and Cornerstone.
Okay.
Let me go down to one gummy.
I think you might be right about
gum
that.
Gum one.
Oh, hit the button.
Yeah, do the thing.
Come on, fat fingers.
Sound Town. We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
Not normally my place to say this, but I feel that we're remiss that we haven't said this yet.
What you making? Fruitcake.
Woo!
What you baking? Fruitcake.
You animals love your fruitcake.
Yeah, I know that the sale started yesterday, and you can get your fruitcakes now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com.
Limited supply.
As order far now. As inflation goes, screw that, whether you get the deluxe or super, the TMOS fruitcake packages, the price stays the same as before.
Right.
Remember that, okay? That's it. We're doing that. You have to order right now. Right now!
This is the latest we've ever announced it, and because of that, there's a very limited window you can order, because we still have to order in the ingredients and stuff, so really do it today. If you want 10, order 10 today. Yeah.
We listen, this is our annual fundraiser, so we really need the money to support the show and keep giving us the ability to bring this show to you. One of the big ways we do it, especially during pandemic times, is with these fruitcakes. That's right, we're having a bake sale to support the show. That's what it's come to. I don't care. I'm not proud.
It's our third annual.
But Mike, be proud, because they are sensational.
They really are worthwhile. Head over to MikeOMaraShow.com, buy as many as you can. And remember, every cake you buy supports your favorite podcast. There's never been a more delicious way to help out. TMOS Fruitcakes 2023. Get them for yourself. Get them for your neighbors. Get them for your family members. Give them as gifts. Get them at MikeOMaraShow.com and get ready for the best holiday ever. We'll get them to you for Christmas time.
It's fantastic. What? They freeze well. So if you wanted to get an extra, don't hesitate. Now,
amen.
Philadelphia, they have an undefeated football team. That's good. They lost the World Series.
Well, it's good for Philadelphia. Yeah. It's good for me.
Well, no. But they lost the World Series. That's bad.
We have to play them twice. Giants have to play them twice.
Well, they're in the same division. Yeah. Ooh, have they played them? Have they played them yet? Already
no.
Once? No. Okay. Yikes. Meow. However, here's a positive for Philadelphia that got some press coverage. I saw this flyer a couple days ago on Facebook. I said, this can't be real, but it is real. A Philadelphia native named Alexander Tominski vowed that he would eat 40 rotisserie chickens in 40 days. Every day, he ate a rotisserie chicken down to the bone.
I could do that.
And on the 40th day, he actually went to an abandoned pier in Philadelphia, and a crowd came and watched him eat his 40th consecutive rotisserie chicken.
Going to an abandoned pier behind a Walmart to watch a guy eat his 40th consecutive rotisserie chicken in 40 days. Sometimes you just got to see a win.
3, 2, 1.
Does he eat them rapidly?
Not as rapid as he did on day
one. You're an inspiration! You have the whole city behind you!
One more bite! One more bite!
That's awesome.
And here's the amazing thing.
There weren't any DJs involved?
No, it's just a guy. And
that's
over
fantastic.
The last 40 days, he's lost 12 pounds.
Yeah, it's all protein.
All protein.
It's a protein diet. Yeah. I mean, it's
good
great. I had chicken last night. It's delicious.
He said that it was hard. The 40th chicken took him a little longer than the first chicken.
Yeah.
And he said it was really hard. He's not talking about anything but his stool.
Oh, my God. Yes. Ooh, can you imagine?
You
have to walk all the way to the back of Costco to get one of those. Mike, there is an announcer on ESPN named Marty Smith, and he was covering some pre-gaming over the weekend, and he was invited by fans to try this.
He was covering drinking?
No, he was covering some pre-gaming.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
I call pre-gaming
okay,
pre-gaming
well, I should
drinking.
Say that. He was covering the tailgate activity prior to
it. Is he an analysis guy? Is that what he's doing?
I believe he is, but the story here is that he broke the world cornhole record. In the parking lot, Mike. Now, you know cornholing is really a delicate matter. And if you don't do it just right, someone's going to end up upset. But this guy was able to, to sink his cornhole bag into the cornhole at 76 feet.
Whoa.
If you think about that, that's over 25 yards.
That's
he is the
phenomenal.
New world record holder, Marty Smith.
I have 3 children I love dearly.
I've been married
to my beautiful wife, Lainey, for 23 years. And I adore them all so much, but there is nothing that I've ever experienced that created the euphoria of winning the Redneck Olympics.
And I like
is that is that the land of the redneck? Is cornhole the is that the domain?
I think it skews. I think it skews a little
white
south,
devil?
Doesn't it? What would you say, Oscar?
Okay, Mike. Let me ask you this question: if you walked into your neighbor's lawn and you saw one of those life-size chess pieces with a life-size board, or you saw cornhole, what would you think?
Yeah.
I would say you made a wonderful analogy there, and I get your point in totality. Thank you very much. I get it. I get it. Yes,
very
sir.
Good. All right, Mike. I saw on Roku the Weird Al movie. Weird.
You
the
did.
Al
you
Yankovic
watched
story.
It. I want to watch it.
It's very funny. It's very funny on a lot of levels. There's a lot of great celebrity cameos in it. It's not going to win any Oscars, but I very much enjoyed it. However, it's diminished by the fact that Weird Al and Jimmy Fallon recorded Weird Al songs with kid instruments. I hope you have your mortar ready, because this is what he did on The Tonight Show. All right. My thought is this. If you're already doing a parody song, don't simplify it to kids' instruments. You know? That's my thought there.
I agree.
Yeah. And I love Weird Al. I think he's great.
He's doing the rounds. He's got to sell the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
But, Mike, you liked his book.
I lost on. Yeah, his kids' books are fantastic. Yeah. Farkle McBride, I believe.
It sounds right. Do watch the movie, though. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Sometimes you get little clues that you're not raising your kid right. Like this young lady who has a little kid. She's a young mom. She raised her glass, and she asked her kid, what time is it? But it was the morning. She's expecting him to say, it's time for coffee.
You know what time it is.
Wine time.
No, it's not even 9 a.m. It's coffee.
She said wine time.
Wine time. Last night, Mrs. O'Mara was yelling at me because we put Michael to bed and we thought he still might be up. And she screams at me because I have the volume loud on the TV in the living room. And
we live in a
ticky-tacky. It's not as small as Oscar's, but it's a small house that we live in. And the White Lotus was on, and I think it was the scene where that lady, the lady that's the comedian,
on the Jennifer Coolidge.
Yes. She's getting nasty by Uncle Rico, and it's just not fun to watch.
Oh,
but it's loud, and she's like, turn that down, and I said, what? Yeah, he's going to hear that. I said, yeah, but it's fine for you to go into the bathroom and make sure he washes his balls. What's the deal with that? That's it. Yeah, right? Did I have a point?
We don't have the balls context.
No, we don't have
the balls context. She's like, make sure you wash your butt. Make sure you wash your... like that. Yeah. She says that to him. And that's, but meanwhile, I've got a little up volume on the thing,
Yeah, but she's just being a mom. You're being a pervert.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to let him hear that, Oscar. I'm not trying to make him hear that, for God's sake.
Hey, come here and look what Dad is watching on TV.
No, that's not
a
what
lot
you
of people
know,
are watching
both.
Monday Night Football.
F you both. F you both. I didn't mean it like that,
Carla.
I just thought it was she's going to be thrilled. She's going to be thrilled. You both agree with her.
Mike, I don't have a dog in this fight. I think you're both wrong.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did. I heard it today. Last night. I heard it. He takes his shower the night before.
Yeah.
And
does she remind you too?
Make sure you get all your cracks.
That's right. Otherwise, That's right.
Let's move on, shall we?
Oh, yeah. Let's close with this. Seth Meyers. You know what? I hated taking the SATs, not the actual testing, but leading up to them. And I would hate the fact that I had to retake my SATs. Then this happens.
50 students in El Paso, Texas may have to retake the SAT after their answer sheets flew out of a UPS truck and were either lost or destroyed. The students are calling the incident disheartening, regrettable, disconcerting, or irksome.
I'd go with irksome. That's all I got. And wash your balls.
Wash your balls. Oh, my. What a weird show we had today. I swear to God, I did not take any dad grass before the show. I did not. Our thanks to Kevin Scott. Kevin wonderful talking Scott. Head. Keep up the great teaching and all that. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, get your fruitcakes. Got to get them soon. Got to get them rapidly. And get your tickets to the live show. We're selling two things at once. We didn't plan it that way. No. Usually it's a separated because he's leaving a nudge. Little nudge. All right,
nudge,
so we're nudging
nudge,
you about the fruitcake, nudging you about the tickets. Not the tickets as much as the fruitcake. We're not worried about the tickets, but the fruitcakes, we got to do that.
Urgency.
It's driving me nuts right here. I mean, it's before Thanksgiving, and I'm going to have an aneurysm. I swear to God. Buy this stuff, please. Sorry, I know it's a recession. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do.
No inflation
right?
No
inflation's out there.
No inflation here.
We held
here.
The line on inflation.
We did.
Okay.
Yes. Vote for us.
Oh, God. Vote blue. Tomorrow, remember to put the microphone on. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow for Rob and Oscar. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Want more?
make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I don't know what we're going to do, how we get ready of those tumbleweeds. It's horrible.
It was a video game move.
Oh, my God! Oh. Avocados from Mexico.